Well, we're continuing our study in the book of Romans. We've come to the 14th chapter. And in the last couple chapters, Paul has kind of left off the broad issues of the faith and kind of dealt more with the practical side of things. How do we apply, how do we deal one with another? How do we judge matters between one another? And, how do we relate to our governments, and et cetera. And I'm very excited with this chapter. I'm not excited, but I'm very pleased to cover this because I think it's very important that we understand a certain element of the liberty we have in Christ, and that we should not be high-minded towards people who are of a different opinion on certain matters. We sometimes condescend to people because we do know better, right? And we don't necessarily, rake people over the coals for certain minor differences. Let's see the way Paul instructs us that we should deal one with another on these disputations, as he calls them. Him that is weak in the faith, receive ye, but not to doubtful disputations. For one believeth that he may eat all things, another who is weak eateth herbs. Let not him that eateth despise him that eateth not, and let not him which eateth not judge him that eateth, for God hath received him. Who art thou that judgest another man's servant? To his own master he standeth or falleth, yea, he shall be holden up, for God is able to make him stand. One man esteemeth one day above another, another esteemeth every day alike. Let every man be fully persuaded in his own mind. He that regardeth the day, regardeth it unto the Lord, and he that regardeth not the day to the Lord, he doth not regard it. He that eateth, eateth to the Lord, for he giveth God thanks, and he that eateth not to the Lord, he eateth not, and giveth God thanks. For none of us liveth to himself, and no man dieth to himself, for whether we live unto the Lord, and whether we die unto the Lord. Whether we live, therefore, or die, we are the Lord's. For to this end Christ both died and rose and revived, that he might be Lord both of the dead and the living. But why dost thou judge thy brother? Or why dost thou set at naught thy brother? For we will all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. For it is written, As I live, saith the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall confess to God. So then every one of us shall give account of himself to God. Let us not therefore judge one another any more, but judge this rather, that no man put a stumbling block or an occasion to fall in his brother's way. Hold there. I could probably just read this whole chapter all by itself. Why don't I do that? I know, and I am persuaded, by the Lord Jesus, that there is nothing unclean of itself. But to him that esteemeth anything to be unclean, to him it is unclean. But if thy brother be grieved with thy meat, now walkest thou not charitably. Destroy not him with thy meat for whom Christ died. Let not then your good be evil spoken of. For the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. For he that in these things serveth Christ is acceptable to God and approved of men. Let us therefore follow after the things which make for peace, and things wherewith one may edify another. For meat destroy not the work of God, and indeed all things are pure. All things indeed are pure, but it is evil for that man who eateth with offense. It is good neither to eat flesh, nor to drink wine, nor anything whereby thy brother stumbleth, or is offended, or is made weak. Hast thou faith? Have it to thyself, before God. Happy is he that condemneth not himself in the thing which he alloweth. And he that doubteth is damned, if he eat, because he eateth not of faith. For whatsoever is not of faith is sin. Okay. It's a single passage, right? And it's, and it really helps to just take it all in. Okay? Paul is saying, we take in, we receive, we take to one side and we'll accept as brethren weak people, right? Those that are weak in the faith. But not to doubtful disputations. Meaning this, what is the doubtful disputations? Well, doubtful is, literally means judicial estimation or determination, meaning there's some heavy judgment here, right? And disputations is dialogismos. Does that sound familiar? Like dialogue, discussion, consideration. Meaning, they want to start bringing all kinds of things into judgment. And it is a doorway that leads down to legalism. It really does. Because now you start judging everything. We're going to judge what kind of meat we can eat. We're going to judge what kind of day we should worship on. We're going to judge this. We're going to judge that. And these are judicious discussions. Meaning we can take in the weak faith, but if they're going to be troublesome to us, like that, it is, you know, it's a complicated issue because on the one hand he says receive them, but not to this. But then he starts talking about, well, here's the thing. If you start having doubtful disputations, you're going to do all kinds of things to your brother. And ultimately, those who are strong have to bear the infirmities of the weak. That's just the way I see it. Meaning this, is that if I have knowledge, I tend to humor those who are weak rather than try to fight with them and really mess up their conscience. Ultimately, we want to strengthen those who are weak in the faith. We do. We want them to get past that. But not, you understand, things have to be taken in measure. Remember, I don't ever want anyone to forget this verse from chapter 3. I'm sorry, not chapter 3. Well, the first one would be chapter 2. It was mentioned a couple times. You know, or despisest thou the richness of his goodness and the forbearance and longsuffering of God, not knowing that the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance. Now let me paraphrase that. Do not despise the riches of God's goodness and his forbearance and longsuffering. Remember that the goodness and longsuffering and forbearance of God led you to repentance. Okay? So don't be so impatient with your weak brother that you cause him to sin. It's a very simple principle. Okay? And what he's saying is, see, one guy believes one thing, like a particular, you know, one guy says he uses eating as an example, but I could give you countless examples, just give me the time to think them up. One believes he may eat all things. Another is weak and eateth herbs. I would say, and he talks about one man one day. I like to use this as an example. One man believes, hey, I'm a Christian every single day. I worship God every single day. There's really no, I don't view any day as special. I don't have holidays that I view as special to God. Though I observe Thanksgiving in the sense of, I mean, we have the turkey and all that. I'm talking about me personally. Right, but in general, I mean, but I don't think it's like a holy convocation or like if I miss it, I've sinned, you know. But I don't have any special estimation for those days, right? Some people do, though, right? Well, verse 3 says, I'm sorry, yeah. You know, him that eateth, let not him despise him that eateth not. A person who is restrictive in their faith, meaning that they are tending towards a sort of a legalistic approach. Don't eat certain things. Don't touch certain things. On certain days are the days that men ought to worship. They are the weak. Okay? Don't despise them. Because to despise them is to despise the goodness of God and the forbearance of God, which led you to repentance. In which, you remember, there was a time also when you were weak in the faith. Don't despise. Now, him which eateth not, I mean the weak person, don't judge those who do. Meaning those of you who are, and I like to, I've run into a lot of people who are, they insist on Saturday worship and a Saturday Sabbath. And to me personally, that means you're a debtor to do the whole Sabbath and the whole law. If you're going to do it, say, well, the commandment is, right? Well, now you're in a position, and I'm trying to say this in gentle and meek love, that you're trying to fulfill the righteousness of God by commandment. And you're really a debtor to do it all. Meaning, if you're going to hold Saturday as special, it better be pretty special. You know? Like, if that's your one day, I hope at least on that day you're putting off the worldly lusts. I hope you're dedicating that day to God. You know, rather, why not just be free, right? But I don't despise that. I understand the need of some people. It is honorable to try to live by the law, but you have to understand, ultimately you cannot please God in that way. Only faith will please God. And the righteousness which is of faith is not who's going to go up to the heaven to find out what the truth is, or going to go to the depths of the sea, but the word is nigh you in your mouth. Right? And what's that mean? It means God is with you all the time. And you don't have to go any place special to see him. On a particular day. Right? Not forsaking the gathering of ourselves together in his name. But on the other hand, not being so legalistic about something that one now sits in judgment of his brother who is his liberty. Now, as someone who has liberty, I got to consider to myself, okay, if I consider myself stronger, I don't want to make my weak brother stumble. So to some degree, within reason, I have to accommodate their weakness. But not to, you know, doubtful dispute, not to, you know, I mean, there is definitely a point at which the judgment just becomes so unchristian that you really have no fellowship. You know what I mean? And because a lot of times it's part of a greater religious system that they're involved with, which is ungodly. You know, they're in a denomination that insists on all these things, and it's like, that's not Christian. It's one thing if you personally have your day, but it's another thing if you're going up against an entire system. I can't be part of that. We don't live in Paul's day when all this is new and, you know, they're exploring, hey, you don't have to be circumcised anymore. And it's sort of like this fluid. It's just starting out, you know, right? And they're exploring the Spirit. And now we've settled in after 2,000 years, and there are a lot of practices. It's more like, it reminds me more of the time when Christ came, when everyone was set in their ways. And it's like you come preaching something different, and they're like, look at this blasphemer. Who's this babbler? Who art thou that judgest another man's servant? I mean, ultimately, this is the thing. And this is to those, I don't despise them. But I find myself judged all the time. I'm not judging them for having that day. Really, I don't count it as sin. But they call me a sinner for not worshiping on that day. Or for eating, pork, let's say. Which I don't eat much of anyways. Because I try to be moderate in everything I do. Meaning not always eating these sumptuous, scrumptious meats. Right? Keeping myself to a reasonable diet. This is a somewhat new innovation for me, somewhat new. But it's part of what I think, you know, I don't think Christ didn't live sumptuously. You know, though he came, he did do eating and drinking, but he was a man who was out and about and an austere man. Living in an austere circumstances, meaning he was living in a severe world. You know, he didn't have a permanent home. He would eat with people. I mean, he went to feasts. It never said he was a glutton, though they said that of him. Behold, a gluttonous man, you know, but it wasn't. I would never believe that of Christ, because gluttony is a sin. But they said that of him. I mean, they said John the Baptist had a devil. And that was, again, a false witness. So who are you that judgest another man's servant? I am a servant of God. Who are you to judge me concerning these things? What I eat, when I do or don't worship, To his own master he stands or falls. Yea, he shall be holden up, for God is able to make him stand. See, that is what it is like to be strong in the faith. God will hold you up. One man esteemeth one day above another, esteemeth. He counts that day as something special, something more. And it would be wrong for me to despise that, because he's counting it special to God, okay? But it's also wrong for him to stand in judgment of me. Another esteemeth every day alike, because I have faith that I know that Christ fulfilled this law of the Sabbath. He is my rest. I have rest and peace in him. He is my rest. He is the rest. There is, the book of Hebrews said, there is a rest that remains to the people of God. Right? And the people who were following it by the law never were able to enter into the rest because they tried to follow it by the law. But it is by faith you do enter into his rest. See? Because the Sabbath is given above from God, because God made the Sabbath for man, not man for the Sabbath. That's the teachings of Christ. But they want to turn you into a slave. Look it, I don't hate them. Well, I'll tell you what, I hate the systems that bring men into bondage to these weak, unsound doctrines in Christianity. Because Christianity is about faith, and they're making it about laws. And it's error, and they're leading people down a path of error. See, Paul didn't have these denominations out there. They are trying to re-Judaize everything. Well, he did. And you know what? When he ran up against those, he said, let them be accursed, because they were trying to bring the Gentiles in to be to preaching a gospel where they had to start obeying the Old Testament laws and such. And he's trying to make room for it here and be gracious to those who are weak in the faith. He's saying, receive those that are weak in the faith, meaning don't cast them out. They believe in Jesus, right? But I'll tell you what, his assumption is, the idea is that they would come along and become wise. Or not just wise, they have accepted a form of wisdom, but they need to become strengthened in Christ, strengthened in the faith. Okay? But they regard the day, they regard it to the Lord. I'm not going to despise that. Hallelujah. And that I regard not the day to the Lord, I don't regard it. See? He that eats, eats to the Lord. Thank you, Lord, for what you've given me. Right? But he that eateth not, to the Lord he eateth not. Thank you, Lord, that you've taught me what I should and shouldn't eat. For none of us, we don't live to ourselves. I'm not just responsible for me, I'm responsible for my brother. Right? I don't just live for myself. I'm living to God. I'm living to Christ. That's that. If you're a Christian, that's what you're supposed to be doing. Presenting your body a living sacrifice. Your life is a living sacrifice. You know what I mean? The things you do in your life are holy and separated from what other people do, because you are living your life subjected to the will of God. At least that's the path you're on. I don't know how far along you are down it, but the farther along you are, the more exactly like Christ you should be becoming. And if you haven't had any changes in 30 years, you're not being transformed by the renewing of your mind. Because some people would think that, oh, that's just a one-time shot. No, it's not a one-time shot. It's a continual thing. You get transformed all the time. I mean, I get transformed. Sometimes, you know, in a single day, you have a transformation and poosh, everything's different. He changes things. He turns things around. That's faith. The word is nigh you, in your mouth and in your heart. So you don't need to look for some great revelation to have a revelation within yourself. God is ready to act in faith. Believe him. So, to this end, Christ both died and rose and revived. Actually, the end rose, and there's extra phrases crept into the text, I believe. I think it should be Christ died and revived. He died and rose that whether we die under the... Oh, I'm sorry. That he might be Lord both of the dead and the living. We die unto Christ. is Lord of the dead and the living. The dead he will raise. It says, the hour is coming when all that are in their graves will hear my voice and stand up, some to everlasting life and some to everlasting judgment. It's the judgment that will never be reversed. It will perish. But why dost thou judge thy brother? Why dost thou set it not thy brother? Now see, the set it not is despise, is in verse 3, meaning, now I'm going to look at those people subject to those systems that say, hey, touch not, taste not, handle not, worship on this particular day, do this particular thing, fulfill X, Y, Z, and you'll be pleasing to God. Why do you now to look at those people and say, they're weak. They're, you don't take them seriously. Obviously, the word means to make utterly nothing of. I mean, you think they're not Christians, and they're not going to be Christians. It's wrong to judge them in that way, because you don't know what's going to happen to somebody, right? I mean, the judgment of God stands. I don't stand in judgment of anybody, but the judgment of God is there. I'll tell you what, as far as sin goes, with sin, judgment of God is set, okay? With these days and all that, I'm not going to stand in judgment of people who do that. Now, they're going to judge me, unfortunately, because they're on the weak side of things. But I'm not going to set them at naught either and say, those people. Try to help. Try to strengthen. We're all going to stand before the judgment seat of Christ. It is not the most important thing. These days and eating and, that's not what we're going to, the judgment seat of Christ, we're going to be judged whether he knows us or not. I mean, if he knows us, we'll be standing in his judgment. For good. And we're all for good, those who he knows, those who he foreknew. Every knee shall bow to me and every tongue shall confess to God. Hey, that's everybody. Right? And we're all going to have to give account of ourselves to God. So don't judge your brothers, one another, but judge this rather that you don't put a stumbling block or an occasion to fall before in your brother's way. Meaning, while they believe this, like if someone really believes in the Saturday Sabbath, to not do the Saturday Sabbath is sin. Because they're condemning, they brought themselves into condemnation because they're following after the law again. So they need to be there, okay? They need to worship on that day. They need to stay away from that food because they've subjected themselves to the law again. They've been entangled in it. And so we don't want to, if I have a brother over I know is like against the eating of pork and stuff, I'm not going to serve it to him or try to goad him into, here, have some pork. It's the kind of thing where you talk about it, but you don't throw the thing right in front of them and tempt them with it, or let's say bake it into the food without telling him, and then afterwards you tell him, and now he thinks you've just I ate that. You tricked me. Whatever. I mean, that's pretty extreme, but I mean, in history that has happened where, back when they had those witch crazes in the medieval times, anyone who was found to or when they were persecuting the Jews, when the Catholic Church was persecuting the Jews, especially in I forgot the exact time period, but, in that time, if someone was caught not eating pork or something, as a jolly good Christian ought to, it's ridiculous, they were suspicious, they were under suspicion and likely to go into the Inquisition. So let's not cause our brethren to stumble or put an occasion for sin in front of them. Because I know I am persuaded by the Lord Jesus that there's nothing unclean of itself. Did you hear that? There is nothing unclean of itself. The Apostle Paul said there's nothing unclean. Nothing. Now, and then I already hear the legalists saying, oh, no. But see, there are foods which God created to be eaten, but there are other things which were not created to be eaten. Paul's just talking about the ones that were created to be eaten, you can eat. No, really, he means nothing. This unclean, clean distinction was all about the law and making sin and bringing in all the world guilty before God. And there was good in the law, but the point is, of faith, you don't have to fear. You're like, I don't fear being around smokers. I don't much care. I used to smoke, but I don't anymore. And I don't really want to inhale smoke, but I'm not afraid of secondhand smoke because I might get cancer. Right? I'm not going to live in fear of that. There's nothing that's unclean and going to defile you in and of itself. But if you count it to be that way, to you it is that way. So that's the chief danger. The danger is to the weak. And the danger to the strong is that we would despise the weak or cause them to stumble. And that can be worse. I mean, it really is. Because now they have a problem with legalism, but we have a problem with love. So you're not walking charitably. Charity means in love. Destroy not him with thy meat for whom Christ died. Let not your good be evil spoken of, right? You've got good in Christ. I mean, Christ has revealed all these things. He's given you this liberty. Don't let it be spoken of evilly. You mind high things. You think of yourself more than you ought to think. You don't consider the weak brethren around you. Don't be like that. You have wisdom. You have good things. God has taught you much. Keep it in perspective, please. Remember the long-suffering of God that he showed to bring you to that place. Did you roll out of the womb full of wisdom and understanding? Well, be mindful of your brethren who may not get it yet. I think of the long-suffering and patience towards God, towards me, and I think, I got to be patient with other people. What am I going to do? I mean, doesn't mean I always have to, sit there. Like someone who's like legalistic about what they eat, doesn't mean I have to sit down with them every night and just bear it. You know, I mean, bear it as much as God calls me to, of course. But, I mean, he may call me to just really bear it. I thought, sometimes people put really awful food in front of me and I always eat a little of it, even though I think it's terrible because I'm trying not to, I don't want to give any offense, I feel like I got to eat a little of this, secretly throw it away because you think you don't want to hurt their feelings, right? Be charitable in your dealings with other people, right? For the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. Yeah, it's an interesting statement. The kingdom of God is righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. And that's all in the Holy Ghost. It's righteousness in the Holy Ghost. It's peace in the Holy Ghost. Without the Holy Ghost, you can't have any of those things. Right? I mean, you can have partial, but partial doesn't count, see? Because partial righteousness is sin. That's flat out the way it's taught in the Bible. And the kingdom of God, because if you do evil things, see, you won't inherit the kingdom of God. Galatians chapter 5 says that very clearly. That, if you do such like as all those evil things, you will not inherit the kingdom of God. And these type of things, if you cannot deal charitably with your brethren, you're not going to inherit the kingdom of God, because that is another aspect of righteousness. It's not just knowing the high things. See, this reminds me of that minding high things. It's like, I know better. I can do whatever I want. No, you can't. See, now you have forgotten something. When you forget to condescend to men of low degree, when you forget you were purged from your old sins, now you've stepped away from Christ-likeness and into sin once again. He that in these things serveth Christ is acceptable to God and approved of men. Let us therefore follow after the things which make for peace, and things wherewith one may edify another. Let's try to edify each other. Let's strengthen each other in the faith, and those other issues will vanish. If all come along in the faith and be strengthened in the faith without making that the chief thing, you know what I mean? Let them, they'll probably figure it out on their own if you raise them up in the faith the way they ought to be. They will come. I sincerely believe that. If God is called, otherwise, unless God has called them to be a thorn. Like I said, if they start making the weakness, if the weak guy starts taking over the church, that can't be. And starts putting everyone under all these laws and starts judging people who don't, that can't be. We cannot allow that. You that are strong in the faith cannot allow that. There are churches that are like that, and you can't go. The problem is, I can't be part of it. I don't know how to help those people. I can only preach, teach, and exhort. So, for meat, destroy not the work of God. That's it. Over the sick, now I can eat anything. Just because of that, there's no reason to go in there and, all hog wild and mess up a brother in somewhere. I don't know, what he's saying is use caution. Be careful. Don't destroy the work of God over meat. All things indeed are pure. That's clean, katharos. They are clean. And also, I think, is where we get holy. It's also a similar derivation, I believe. But in any sense, clean, pure. But it is evil for that man who eateth with offense. It is said someplace, in another place, to the pure all things are pure, right? But to the unclean, what all things? Is it clean to eat dung? Well, technically, that's dirty, right? Is it clean? Fornication acceptable? Well, no. That's not acceptable before God, right? But there are things that were laws about in the Old Testament, which Christ did away with. Meaning, I don't have to dress with fringes on my garment. But the New Testament does say dress modestly. Are we going to make a law out of that? No, but the Holy Ghost ought to teach you that, you aren't putting all the, putting a lot of pride in your appearance, because the opposite, I look at it, the opposite of, how do you know what it is to dress modestly? Well, modest is the opposite of proud. So if I'm like proud in my dress and I dress proudly, when I see myself putting so much pride into my appearance, I think, that would be overboard, right? But it's not a law like where you gotta say, you look at people's clothes and say, oh, no, you can't wear that. Though some things are manifestly obvious to everyone, you don't come to church dressed like a streetwalker, But see, here's the Holy Ghost. Maybe a streetwalker walks in off the street into your church. What do you throw her out? If you must, give her covering. There's always the way of peace, that things may be done. So, it's good neither to eat flesh nor to drink wine or anything whereby thy brother stumbleth. That's why I don't drink anything anymore. God delivered me from alcohol, and I realized, I could drink a beer if I wanted to. Right? I have liberty to do that, because I'm not a drunkard anymore, and I'm certainly not going to drink enough to get drunk. Right? Did that a couple of times. Twice, actually. One time I had a half a glass of wine that someone offered me because they didn't want to finish it. And another time I had a lemonade that was slightly alcoholic, right? Just one. No drunkenness involved, right? But I saw the way it was observed that people looked at me a certain way. And I realized I'm being judged. People are looking at me. And they're thinking, he's not righteous, right? So, for their sake, I don't drink because I can't handle it. I do it for their sake, because they can't handle it. or is offended or made weak. I don't want to make my brother weak. Hast thou faith? Have it to thyself before God. I mean, not that our faith, you know, we do let our faith shine before men, right? But in this matter, don't be a big shot. Like, oh, I have faith, I can eat all things. And they can bring in all this stuff and show them, here, toads, snails, snakes, I can eat it all. Or someone's a vegetarian. It's like, ooh, watch, I'm going to have some meat. And they mock them and despise them. And it's because they feel very strongly that they shouldn't eat meat. It's wrong. Don't be like that. Don't mind high things like that. I mean, I am occupied with the high things. I'm occupied. I have an understanding. I have faith. I can eat all things. I can worship on any day. You fools who worship on those other days, well, you gotta understand, you don't have faith. Your faith is weak. Happy is he that condemneth not himself in the things which he alloweth. You do things. Hey, count this reward enough that you are, hey, the fact that you allow yourself to eat anything and you don't condemn yourself, let that be reward enough. You don't have to show off or bring the hammer down on other people. You know, the fact that you worship God every day doesn't have to be an issue with other people. Hey, just be glad. You should just be happy all by yourself that you aren't bringing yourself into condemnation by allowing it, and feel pity for those who do condemn themselves for those things. He that doubteth is damned. If he eat, because he is not of faith. You need to have faith. But without faith, it is, the law is an honorable thing, and people try to follow the law. And I don't despise those people, but I try to teach them the right way. Because you can't please God by the law. Ultimately, you have to understand, faith has to increase. That sort of legalism has to go away. I mean, well, I'll tell you what, faith is what it takes to please God. The less legalism, the better off you will be, the happier you will be. And the closer to Christ, his image, you will become.